Has this ever happened to you? There just comes a point, maybe you wake up in the morning or some point during the day, when you have to have a certain type of food. I don't know if it's a smell that comes around, or you see a picture of food, or you're watching television as a commercial that just, but I've got to have this today. And that happened to me yesterday at 10 o'clock in the morning for no reason whatsoever that I can discern. I had to have an egg roll. This has never happened to me before. Why an egg roll? Am I pregnant? Is this a craving that I have that has resulted from a pregnancy? That's impossible for me. I needed to have that egg roll. And I would drive to the ends of the earth to achieve that taste, putting an egg roll in my mouth and letting it go down my throat and into my stomach. I needed to have the egg roll. And I wasn't interested in the duck sauce. By the way, that duck sauce, there's no duck in it. They don't squeeze a duck dry into a plastic container. There is no duck. I guess if someone threw a container of duck sauce at you, you duck. That's about the only, I can't figure out any other connection to this word duck in that particular sauce. Doesn't taste like duck, doesn't look like duck. If it doesn't taste like duck, doesn't look like duck, it's not a duck. But I'm not interested in the duck sauce. I don't even know what the freaking duck sauce is. I don't know. Chinese cuisine, they're just always wrong about everything. There's no duck in duck sauce. Chickens don't have fingers. There's no lobster in most lobster sauces. There's no crab in crab rangoon. What is with these people? Why, that's fake news. That's fake food. Why are you doing this? Why do you have an entire cuisine that has words in it that have nothing to do with the cuisine whatsoever? It's almost deceitful. Poo-poo platter. There's no poo-poo in it. I'd know if there's poo-poo in it. I've tasted poo-poo before by mistake. It was a cruel joke back in high school. I tasted poo-poo. It ain't in that platter. Sometimes it seems like it could be, but there's no poo-poo in it. What is with the Chinese people? Is it the translation of the food to the American language, the English language? Is that what it is? Why do you put words in things that have nothing to do with it? They don't exist. Anyway, I don't want duck sauce. I don't want to dip my egg roll into duck sauce. I just want that egg roll, and I don't know why. I don't know why. That's the thing that perplexes me. I don't know why. I can go through just about anything if I understand why I'm going through it, whether it be for psychological problems or whatever the case may be. Then I can somewhat deal with it as much as I will kick and scream. But I have no idea why I wanted this egg roll yesterday. I couldn't think of any reason whatsoever, but I had to have it. So I got in my car and I drove to the nearest Chinese place. And there are a lot of them. You don't have to drive too far usually. And for something like an egg roll, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how good that Chinese food may be at that particular restaurant. I don't know if they make their own egg rolls. They probably get them imported in from the Amazon egg roll company or something. You know, they probably got Amazon Prime. They buy like a lot of egg rolls, or they just run down to Costco or so. I have no idea, but it doesn't even matter. At this point, it wasn't the quality of the egg roll. It was just the fact that it would be an egg roll. By the way, egg roll, I don't know of any egg in it whatsoever. Maybe that roll wrap stuff is made with egg? I don't know. I'm not sure. But it certainly isn't a breakfast item. You would think an egg roll would be a breakfast item of some sort. What do you want for breakfast, Ron? A glass of orange juice and give me an egg roll, a scrambled egg roll, if you would. There's no egg in these egg rolls. Again, some type of odd translation loss here. I think if I write a book, I think I'll call it There's No Egg and Egg Roll. There's No Crab and Crab Rangoon. Chicken Don't Have Fingers. There's No Poo Poo and Poo Poo Platter. Anyway, fake food. It's fake food. Fake food. So I had to have an egg roll. I had to have one. And egg rolls are horrible, horrible things, you know. They're deep fried cabbage and dough. Not something that a lot of people would go out of their way for. By the way, the pork egg rolls, I defy you to find a piece of pork in it. Oh, it's in there somewhere. But you'll never see it and you'll never taste it. So anyway, so I go to this Chinese restaurant and I walk in and you can tell I'm salivating. I mean, I look like I'm on coke or something or whatever. And the person behind the counter, I say, I like a large order of egg rolls, please. And I sit there for about no more than 4 minutes and she comes out with this greasy little plastic bag. And you can see the grease sopping through this cellophane plastic thing. It's obvious. And I tell you, that's like $4, please. And I give them the $4, which is cheap for a large egg roll. A large egg roll is not a large egg roll. It's two little egg rolls. It's a large order of egg rolls. It's not a large egg roll. I get in the car. I open up the bag immediately. And I sat there in the car, and I ate the egg roll, one of the two. And I immediately was satisfied. I sought the egg roll, and I conquered. And now the egg roll was in my mouth. My immediate thought was, what a wonderful country this is. I can have a craving for an egg roll, and within 5-10 minutes... I'm eating one. That's America. I don't think that's what this country fought for. I think it was democracy, not the egg roll. But for me that day, it was for the egg roll. And I'm fine. About half an hour later, I get this incredible urge to visit a bathroom. And there, I pay for my sins, so to speak. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I wanted an egg roll. I got one. And now I am sitting on the toilet of sin. Because eventually that egg roll turns into a poo-poo platter.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. How are you today? I'm going to do it breathy. How are you today? I can't do that. I have allergies. I can't be breathy. I snore. Did you know that? How would you know that? How would you possibly know? Wait a minute. How would you know that? I do snore, apparently. I don't know that. Because apparently when I'm snoring, I'm asleep. Now, if I snored when I was awake, I could come to that realization myself. Snoring is something you do, but you have to be told that you're doing it. You're not aware of it. And your immediate reaction is to argue. You know you snore, Ron. No, I don't. Hey, you were snoring last night. I was not. I didn't hear it. I slept very well. No, you don't understand. You snore really loud. Well, I don't think so. I didn't hear it. Because you were sleeping. Well, I would have woken myself up, don't you think, if I were snoring that loud. Don't you think I would have, you asshole. I'm just pointing out that you snore. And by the way, who are you? Get out of my room. Usually it's your spouse, or your boyfriend, or your girlfriend that tells you that you snore. And you tell them they're crazy. They don't know what they're talking about. How could you know? How could you know as an outside source, sleeping next to me, that I snore? I don't hear it. I don't know what you're talking about. But I snore. I have what they call a deviated septum. Sounds like my ass is too tight. But it has nothing to do with that end of it. It has to do with your nose. I guess my nose, my septum, is deviated. There's a deviation in my septum. I don't know where my septum is, but I assume it's in my nose. Could be in my throat. Septum, rectum, they sound very similar, don't they? Shouldn't body parts that sound similar be next to each other physically? Wouldn't that make more sense? But they're not. So I think my septum's in my nose and it's deviated. There's a deviation in it. It's not a narrow septum. It's not an inflamed septum. It's somehow deviated from the norm. I don't understand why people can't express themselves more clearly. Actually, so I have one. I've been to a couple of sleep clinics where they teach you how to sleep. They put you in a room. Sleep lab, I think they call it. And there's a person sitting in another room wearing a lab coat. And this person, usually a female, I don't know why, I guess it's more relaxing. She's on the other side of the wall. She's in a soundproof booth with all this equipment and all these flashing lights and stuff, and a microphone. It's almost like I'm in a recording studio, and she's the engineer. And she says, Ron, we're going to hook you up to all these kinds of wires. We're going to attach 20 to 25 different wires to all different parts of your body. And that way we can monitor your heart rate, your snoring, the whole bit, and find out what's going on, how your deviated septum may affect your entire body during the sleep process. So we're going to put these wires all over your body, and then we're going to ask you just to go to sleep. Oh, okay, fine, no problem. I go to sleep with wires all over my body every night. Not a problem for me. How do you fall asleep in a strange place in a laboratory with wires connected to you? Ron, just go to sleep. Well, eventually you do fall asleep. They try to make it very conducive, even though you're in a hospital kind of setting. And eventually you fall asleep, but you don't sleep well. You sleep restlessly because you're not at home in your own bed, where it's tough enough to sleep as it is. much less a lab assistant, staring at you through a window all night. I've been through this like 3 times. And each time there's a thing called sleep apnea, which I guess is the result of not sleeping well, and your body goes through all kinds of things and your breathing pattern changes, and it can be quite serious for many people. They didn't say that I had it, but they said that I should get a CPAP machine. Again, I don't know what you're talking about. The letter C, and then you're putting a PAP after it. Is that like a pap smear? I don't even know what you're talking about. Apparently it's a mask that you wear, and it feeds you oxygen. Great. That's just great. That's great. I feel like I'm in an ICU, or maybe like I'm in the space shuttle going to Mars. No more space shuttle. That's so sad, isn't it? I asked my doctor confidentially. I said they want me to get a CPAP machine. And my doctor says they want everybody to get one, no matter what. It's the CPAP people. They want to make sure half of America's on CPAP machines. I said, okay, well. So I never got one. I mean, if I can't fall asleep with 20 wires connected to me, do you think I can fall asleep with a gas mask on my face, covering my nose and my mouth? I don't think so. So apparently I just snore. And there's various things. You can get these nose pincher things, the little snore relief things. I don't know what they're called. I can't remember. Apparently, when you snore, it affects your memory. I guess. I don't know. But these little strips, these nose strips, you put them on your nose, apparently. I guess that's where your septum is. And it pinches your nose, and it opens up your nasal passages, and I guess you sleep better. Then there's these wax teeth. There's like a wax mold that you make of your mouth and your teeth, and you shove it in your mouth, and it opens up your passage. It juts your jaw forward so that you would breathe easier. If your jaw is jutted forward. I don't know all the sleep technology stuff. It's weird. It's weird to me. I went to a furniture company called Jordan's Furniture. It's in Massachusetts, from whence this show is emanated. I know that's not too Shakespearean or accurate, but that's where the show comes from. And it's a big furniture place, and they try to make it entertaining. They sell furniture, they show movies, they give you popcorn and ice cream, and they just try to make it as they try to draw people into the furniture store somehow. They sell mattresses there too, and their mattress area, they don't do it anymore, but they used to, I guess, because it was too stupid. They called it their sleep lab, and it was a section of the store that sold mattresses. And the gimmick was, in order to make them look like they were, quote unquote, the mattress experts, they would have their salespeople in this department wearing lab coats, and they were the sleep experts. I can't imagine anything kind of more embarrassing than walking around a furniture store as a salesperson having to wear a lab coat because you're a sleep expert. These people didn't even graduate high school, much less they're technicians of anything. For some reason, in this furniture store, once they give you a lab coat, now you're a sleep technician. You've just been deemed this as an honorary diploma or something. I think they abandoned that whole marketing idea because even they realized this is way more stupid than we even thought it could be. And the public apparently is seeing through this, that we look like just big, gigantic, jackass, stupid people. So no more lab coats for the salespeople. It's okay. They don't have to do that anymore. Well, thank you. Now I can take your mattresses seriously. And by the way, why does a mattress have to cost $2,000? It's a piece of foam, man, or whatever. You got some springs in there. $2,000 for what? For what? $500 is still a lot of money. $2,000? You're freaking nuts. That's an investment. This is a freaking investment. Did you invest in the stock market? No, I invested in a mattress. Oh, my God. I hope they were wearing a lab coat. No, they weren't. My investment is in the mattress. That's very strange stuff. And we pay the money. Anytime you get a coupon and it says $500 off or $1,000 off the price, you know it's going to be something that's more expensive than you could ever really want to buy. If you're saving me $1,000 off the cost of the thing, I guarantee you, that's a lot of money. That means whatever you're buying has got to be at least $10,000. You get a $10,000 mattress, you better not be snoring, man. You better not be snoring.
You're listening to The Big Show by Sean Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too, but sometimes he says bad words.
Did I ever show you the picture of my dog?
Aww.
Isn't that cute?
Aww.
Here's a picture of my dog eating food.
Aww.
Here's a picture of me walking my dog.
Aww.
Here's a picture of my dog peeing on the ground.
Aww.
Here's a picture of the dog sniffing around on the grass.
Aww.
Here's a picture of my dog finding a perfect spot to do a poop.
Aww.
Here's the poop.
Aww.
Here's me picking up the poop.
Aww.
Here's me taking the poop, putting in the garbage.
Aww.
Here's all the flies that are getting into my garbage pail going for the poop.
Aww.
Here are all the sluggy little worms that are coming out of the poop because it's disgusting and it's hot outside and this is ridiculous.
Aww.
So what do you want to talk about? Yeah, this is the Ron Van Dam Show. I do this every single weekday, unless it's a holiday, where I might sleep a little bit later and maybe won't even do a show. But if it's not a holiday, it's going to be a new program. I make this promise to you. So if I can do that for you, why can't you do this for me? Just make sure that we're a part of your daily routine. I promise not to be too infiltrating into your psyche. It's funny, President Don, you know this guy, President Don? Every day that goes by, I am more convinced this man has a mental illness, and I don't mean that in a condescending manner. I mean it in the sense that he's freaking nuts. He's freaking nuts. And each day that goes by, he destroys everything in sight because of his stupidity and mental disorders. Of which there are so many. I'm not going to wait for the impeachment trial, which will take place in August, probably. I want somebody to stand up right now and say, as a citizen of the United States, I demand to have this President Don be checked out by a psychiatrist immediately. If there's a suspicion of extreme mental disorder by the President of the United States, this must be carried out immediately. As a matter of fact, I believe that any president should have a mental checkup at least twice a year. And if you have diagnosed mental problems, you should be removed from office immediately, because this is like far too important to have a second grader sitting in the Oval Office and an angry one at that and a vindictive one at that. I think it's far too serious. I love the comedians that make fun of the president. They've been doing it for years. We made fun of President Bush. We made fun of President Obama. We made fun of everybody. But this isn't funny. Because he makes fun of himself, but not in a laugh at myself way. He just does things that are just so laughable. I'm not laughing with him. I'm laughing at him. And you know, even the White House says, you know, the President Don, he's just tweeting. He's just tweeting his thoughts. No. When you're the President of the United States, those things aren't tweets. They are written statements. They are written statements from your president, from your quote-unquote leader. That in itself is a sickness. And maybe one day someone will flip the switch, and maybe all these Republicans in Congress will say, excuse me, no, you're not taking all of us down with you, because this ship, it's sinking fast, man, because the captain of the ship is a freaking nut job.
I tweeted today, at real Donald Trump, I tweet. And that's, you know, it solves it. Don't worry, I'll give it up after I'm president. We won't tweet anymore, I don't think. Not presidential.
Raise your hand if you're ready for more of the Ron Van Dam Show. Wow. I have never seen so many f***ing masochists in one place in my life.
Okay, today we're going to talk about college. You know what? I just changed my mind. We're not going to talk about college. We're going to talk about, let's see, what do you want to talk about? I'll leave this up to you. What do you want to talk about? You want to talk about sex?
Come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that make me. Let's talk about sex.
Understand what she's saying. Maybe we shouldn't be talking about sex, actually. Maybe that's not a great idea. How about genetics? You want to talk about genetics? Genetics are interesting. Mm-hmm. Is that about Scientology genetics? I think I got this wrong. Apparently, you are what your parents were. Things are passed down to you, you know? So, like, how can you be healthy if you don't know what to look out for? Maybe your parents had some DNA going on that they passed into your DNA. There should be a disclosure form on the birth certificate. There probably is. I never asked my parents what stuff they had, what physical problems they had. I never really asked them because I always thought it was none of my, but my mother would never, ever told me. She never told me how old she was, ever. I was always curious, how old is my mother? She never tells. She says, you don't ask a lady her age. Okay, you're my mother, though. You're not just a lady. Yeah, it's not right. You can't. So you can imagine I got no information out of her whatsoever. None. So I don't know really genetically where I stand. But I guess it's a good idea to know. Dr. Erica Gray is going to join us here in just a second. Apparently that's an interesting part of one's personal history, I guess.
Morning, Ron.
How are you, Erica?
I am doing well. How are you?
I'm fine. Erica Gray is the Chief Medical Officer at Toolbox Genomics. Did I pronounce that properly?
Yes, you did.
Yay. Okay.
I say genomics, you say genomics.
It's okay, whatever. But we get the idea. Actually, what is that? We're talking about genetic testing. What exactly is genetic testing specifically?
So genetic testing is where you take a sample of your saliva and you send it to a company such as 23andMe or Ancestry.com, or there's many other companies out there, and they will run an analysis and tell you about your DNA, which are the building blocks that make up you.
Okay, now why would I want to know that?
Because there are hidden nuggets buried in your DNA, and we at Toolbox Genomics are on the forefront of helping you live a healthy lifestyle through your DNA. 100 years ago, we barely knew anything about DNA. 20 years ago, we used it for crime scene investigation. I mean, you probably remember the O.J. Simpson case,
yeah,
the CSI shows.
Yeah.
Now we can use it to create a personalized plan for you that is based on your gene style. And gene style is a lifestyle that is based on your genes.
Yeah.
And then, as I mentioned earlier, you can get that information from those companies like 23andMe and Ancestry. And then it is so easy. You take that information and you can go to our website, toolboxgenomics.com. And within minutes, we will give you a personalized plan that's based about diet, supplements, and exercise.
Oh, and that would be based on my genetics. So how is that information transformed into what's better for me?
Well, it's transformed through the plan where we give you some tools and also some tips as far as different changes that you can do in your life that is based on your DNA's information.
All right. Give me an example as to what I might do if I had a certain genetic profile.
Sure. So some people may be at a higher risk for high cholesterol. So some things like olive oil can be incredibly beneficial to help support the cholesterol. As far as lowering LDL, which is one type of cholesterol, or raising HDL, which is considered the good cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
Or other people just might need to eat more spinach.
Oh, but maybe I should eat more spinach anyway, no matter what.
Many people will absolutely benefit, but there are certain people with certain genetic, what we would call risks, that may benefit from even more spinach.
Okay.
So you can get those frozen bags of spinach and throw it into your dinner, and that's a great way to get it into your day.
So if I go through this genetic testing, will it give me facts, or will it also give me recommendations?
It will do both. So it will give you information about what your actual genetics are, and then it will also give you the recommendations. And I think that is where it is just so exciting, because once you have those recommendations, then you can set about making these changes in your life that are going to potentially have really long-term impacts on a healthier lifestyle.
Wow. So this has nothing to do with like my family tree or anything. I'm not going to find my great-grandfather was a pawnbroker. Not that that's bad, you know.
Many companies will actually give you some ancestry information, which is very interesting. And actually, different ethnicities have different genetic markers as well, so different genetic traits.
Yeah.
So that's always fascinating to see between various ethnicities.
Okay. Have you followed a lot of the people who have received these recommendations and where they are now?
We have just started doing that, but it's been fascinating to see how much better people's energy levels are. They feel stronger, they're sleeping better, and they feel that they're processing their food much better.
Huh. I like all of those things. So do I go through individual companies? Do I go through Toolbox? What would I do?
So the first thing you would need to do, actually, do you have your 23andMe data or Ancestry.com data?
No.
Okay, so that would be the first step. If you want to get that genetic data information first, and then once you get that, then you'll go to our website, toolboxgenomics.com, upload it, and then, as I said, within minutes, we'll create that personalized plan for you.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So I can be healthy like right away.
Exactly. You can start tonight.
All right.
That's what we're so excited about. Right.
Let me ask you, Erica, have you used this information for yourself?
I have. So I tragically found out that I am a slow caffeine metabolizer. So
tragic.
My ability...
you made it sound so so horrible.
I love my coffee. So
I've got some tragic news, and it has to do with coffee. Okay. All right. Okay.
So, yes, instead of 2 cups a day, I restrict it to 1 cup.
Okay. Oh, my God. I feel so bad. Okay. Yeah, I hope I don't encounter anything like that. All right. But that actually does make a difference, because sometimes what people ingest every day is actually like ending up to be bad for them.
Exactly. Or even the time of day, because if it takes you longer to break apart, you know, for example, caffeine, and you have your cup at noon, you still may have caffeine in your body at 6 o'clock at night or 8 o'clock at night. And so which will make it harder for you to go to sleep.
Yeah, that's me for sure. But it'd be interesting to find out why. But of course, I don't stop drinking the coffee. So, yeah, I know.
Well, maybe this will help you stop earlier.
Maybe someone from Toolbox should come over and kick me in the butt whenever I have coffee. That's probably what I need. But no, it you know, the more you know about yourself and your inner workings and things like that, it's also a mental refreshment too, isn't it? Just to be so aware and so knowledgeable about your own person. I mean, isn't that's like a high too, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, I liken this to a roadmap, because it's so nice to be able to look and say, oh, these are the potential problems I might have. These are the areas where I need to, you know, support myself a little bit more, instead of just guessing, which I think is very empowering.
That's great. How do I get more information about this?
Go to toolboxgenomics.com and everything will be there for you. It's really easy to follow.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your time today, Erica. Interesting stuff. I guess this wasn't around at a point. This is kind of a new thing that makes us better.
It really is. And Ron, you are bringing cutting-edge information to your listeners, so kudos to you.
Well, okay. And you careful with your coffee now, okay?
I certainly will. You too.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Ron.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Easy these days to know what to give your kids for snacks. Sugary this, high fructosey that. Heck, even the stuff they call natural ain't always natural. But there's one snack when your kids ask for it, you know exactly what you're giving them.
I want Piggy Parts. I want Piggy Parts.
Professor Parker's preserved Piggy Parts are 100% all natural salt preserved pig parts. What parts, you ask? Well, some folks would call them scraps or ears or hoofs, but kids just call them delicious. And with their stiff, leathery texture, one Professor Parker's preserved piggy part will last a kid all afternoon. That's what we call value. So stock up now for school. You'll find them at the end of the pet food aisle in original, barbecue, or vinegar, garlic, teriyaki, onion, habanero, pineapple flavor. Give them a try and you'll see why kids say,
That's some good piggies.
Professor Parker's preserved piggy parts.
That is indeed a treat for kids and adults alike. I'm out of time for today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Please join me then. Do you see me on my knees? Yeah, so do it. Till then, I wish you peace.